Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading the San Angelo Standard Times with the editions starting Friday, August 7th, through Thursday, August 13th. I'll read the most recent articles first. COVID-19 in San Angelo, deaths in Tom Green County up to 41. The San Angelo Health Department has confirmed a COVID-19 related death in Tom Green County, the city announced Thursday, August 13th. The patient was a Tom Green County woman in her 50s. This brings the total COVID-19 death count in Tom Green County to 41, 31 from Tom Green County and 10 from other counties. No other details were released. August 13th, City of San Angelo, 2,809 positive cases reported, 34 new positive cases, 48 currently hospitalized. Health Authority shuts down outdoor events at Cooper's in Cristoval amid COVID concerns, by John Tufts. Local Health Authority Dr. James Vretas on Thursday ordered a Cristoval business to immediately suspend hosting outdoor events, citing concerns about COVID-19. The order, posted at the Tom Green County Courthouse on Thursday, August 13th, directs Cooper's Barbecue to immediately cease all concerts or special events open to the public in the outdoor areas that require live performances or amplified music. Seek permission from the county judge for any use of the outdoor areas of Cooper's Barbecue in which more than 10 people will gather, except for uses related to general dining. Officials said they received complaints that large groups of people who attended outdoor concerts at Cooper's Barbecue, 20809 Highway 277 South in Cristoval, weren't wearing masks or practicing social distancing to limit the spread of the virus. Additional orders to Cooper's Barbecue include requiring face coverings over the nose and mouth of all employees and customers at any time they are not seated at a table, as well as providing outdoor seating for dining at tables that seat no more than 10 people at a time and located no less than 6 feet from other tables. As of Thursday, there were 2,809 positive cases and 41 deaths linked to the virus in Tom Green County since testing began February 29th. According to contact tracers for the local health department, no person interviewed who has tested positive for COVID-19 in Tom Green County has admitted to being at large gatherings as of Thursday. Business took steps to help patrons stay safe. Business owner Kim Cooper said they had taken steps to encourage social distancing. "We've posted lots of signs. We've encouraged everyone to wear a mask. We feel like we've done everything we need to do to be safe," Cooper said. Cooper's Barbecue has hosted several outdoor events in 2020, according to its official Facebook page. While an official tally of those who attended outdoor events at Cooper's Barbecue isn't readily available, Facebook listed up to 1,074 people who marked themselves as having attended outdoor concerts at the venue from May to August. On August 1st, attendees paid up to $45 general admission to hear country musician Aaron Watson, according to an online ticket vendor. For a fee, attendees can bring in coolers with beverages. Texas country musician Kyle Park was slated to perform at Cooper's August 22nd, in which 73 people listed themselves going to the event on Facebook as of 11 a.m. Thursday, and 704 other people expressed an interest in attending. In addition to live music, Cooper's Barbecue also provided activities for children and adults, according to its official Facebook page. These included a basketball court, Gaga ball pit, giant checkers and Jenga, cornhole tournament area, foursquare, tetherball, hula hoops, and frisbees. Complaints about lack of social distancing. In San Angelo, City Attorney Teresa James said she received many complaints concerning activity at Cooper's Barbecue, but that she had no role with enforcement of emergency health orders outside the city. Other complaints were filed with the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission as recently as August 3rd, according to a TABC spokesperson who said the issue was out of their hands. This location does not hold a TABC permit to sell alcohol and is not under TABC's authority. We have received complaints about this location twice previously and have forwarded those to the local authorities, a spokesperson said. Tom Green County Sheriff Nick Hanna said they were aware of outdoor events at Cooper's Barbecue, but had not received official complaints to his knowledge as of August 3rd. Cooper's in a gray legal zone, sheriff said. While Texas bars and nightclubs were ordered by Governor Greg Abbott to reduce capacity in June to limit spread of COVID-19, Hanna said the venue at Cooper's fell into a more ambiguous category. Cooper's Barbecue in Cristoval is neither a bar or nightclub, Hanna said. Abbott's orders provide several exceptions to occupancy limits and is ambiguous about outdoor gatherings. In July, Abbott issued an executive order stating most business establishments in Texas would operate at no more than 50% of their total listed occupancy, with some exemptions, one of which included outdoor events. Abbott later issued an executive order making face masks mandatory in public places for all Texans in counties with 20 or more cases of COVID-19. That includes outdoors when social distancing isn't feasible. What violating health orders could mean. Hanna said business owners who do run afoul of Abbott's orders can face a stiff penalty, but not jail time. Confinement in jail has been eliminated as an available penalty for violation of executive orders, Hanna said. The maximum fine may not exceed $1,000. In the event of a complaint, the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office would file a report with the Tom Green County Attorney for review. The city's attorney said San Angelo officials have written a few citations for violations, but have made concerted efforts to educate local business owners rather than punish them. She stated that masks, social distancing, and basic sanitation measures, like using hand sanitizer, reduce the positive case count. Our primary method of working with businesses is education rather than enforcement, James said. Working with businesses to ensure they are doing those three things allows businesses to remain open and their customers to remain safe. Cinemark Tinseltown Movie Theater sets reopening date in San Angelo, by Rosanna Aguilera. Cinemark Tinseltown USA has set a reopening date for the theater in San Angelo after being closed since March. On April 27th, Governor Greg Abbott said movie theaters could reopen, but the theater at 4425 Sherwood Way decided to stay closed. According to the cinema's website, the reopening date is set for August 25th. With careful planning and greatly enhanced safety measures, we are excited to begin the phased reopening of our theaters, according to the website. The website states the theater has been thoroughly sanitized using products identified by the EPA to be effective in eliminating COVID-19. Each morning, all auditoriums are extensively disinfected using pressurized sprayer equipment. Restrooms are disinfected every morning and sanitized every 30 minutes during operating hours. Overall, auditorium capacities are being reduced. When customers purchase movie tickets at Cinemark, seats are automatically blocked adjacent to your party. Cinemark will require that face masks be worn, but may be removed when eating and drinking inside the auditorium. For more details on steps being taken at the cinema, go to cinemark.com/cinemark-standard. As of 5 p.m. Thursday, Icon Cinema at 2020 North Bryant has not set a reopening date. DPS says San Angelo man wanted for possession of child pornography dies by suicide before arrest, from staff reports. A San Angelo man under investigation for possession of child pornography fatally shot himself before being taken into custody Thursday morning. The incident happened about 8:30 a.m. Thursday, August 13th, when Texas Department of Public Safety special agents Homeland Security investigations and Border Patrol agents attempted to arrest the man. Investigators initiated a traffic stop for the vehicle the man was driving in the 3300 block of Forest Trail. The man exited his vehicle, walked to the front of his vehicle, and shot himself, said Sergeant Justin Baker, DPS spokesperson, during a news conference near the scene at the San Angelo Dog Park. Baker said troopers began life-saving measures, but the man died. No further information was available Thursday morning, and the man's identity was not released during the news conference. The San Angelo Police Department is also assisting with the death investigation, Tracy Piet Fox, public information officer, said Thursday morning. Traffic in the area near Bowie Elementary may be slowed while the investigation into the man's death is ongoing. Affidavit states San Angelo man tampered with meters for free utilities and stole vehicles, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been arrested after a broken electric meter led to stolen property across state lines, according to court documents. On July 2, 2020, Tom Green County Sheriff's deputies responded to the 900 block of Cawley Lane to the report of a stolen travel trailer. Surveillance footage showed a man in a white Ford F-250 drive onto the property and leave with the trailer, according to the arrest affidavits. On July 16th, a sheriff's deputy responded to the 8200 block of Old Sterling City Highway in Grape Creek to a damaged electric meter. A water meter was also being bypassed, according to the affidavit. Deputies could not locate the resident again until July 21st. The man stated he lived on the property in a trailer house, which had electricity from the altered meter box. His account with AEP had been disconnected in February 2020 for non-payment, records state. The man used a vehicle jumper cable and copper wire to rig electricity to the residence. During the meter investigation, deputies noticed a Ford Mustang matching the footage. Deputies found the stolen trailer in the 6500 block of Nutmeg Road. A man using the trailer told investigators the man in Grape Creek was letting him use it, according to the affidavits. Investigators also learned the stolen Ford belonged to a rental company, but was leased to an Oklahoma company. The Ford had red wires hanging from the grill, leading deputies to believe an electrical device had been removed. The sheriff's office put out a release July 27th asking for the public's help finding the man. Investigators believed he had stolen several items, including a 2013 Tidal semi-trailer water hauler reported stolen in San Antonio, a 2007 Honda 200 dirt bike reported stolen in Oklahoma, a 2007 Kubota L84 tractor with assorted funeral equipment reported stolen in Tom Green County, a 1999 Ford F-350 reported stolen in Tom Green County, and a 2020 Jayco J-Flight 264 travel trailer reported stolen in Tom Green County. Lonnie Ray Wooten, 41, was arrested August 6th on suspicion of criminal mischief, impede public service, and two counts of theft or property. He was later released that day on a $35,000 bond, according to online jail records. Wooten returned to Tom Green County Detention Center a week later, Thursday. He was arrested on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance and remained in jail in lieu of a $35,000 bond as of 11:30 a.m. Thursday. Family-owned restaurant opens third location in San Angelo, by Rosanna Aguilera. A family-owned business recently opened its third restaurant in San Angelo. Rangel's Mexican Restaurant opened up for business at 1021 East 19th Street on August 5th, serving breakfast all day along with daily specials. The business is owned by Jose and Anna Rangel and their four children. "We all work together to make your visit amazing and comfortable," stated a Facebook post. "We make our food fresh daily, everything homemade." The restaurant is open from 5:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 2 on weekends, and closed Mondays. For more information or to place an order, call 325-482-0000. 0119. The family has two other Rangel's restaurants in Robert Lee and Sterling City. Students start moving into dorms at Angelo State University, by Colin Murphy. Amid concerns across the country about the return of students to institutions of higher learning during the COVID-19 pandemic, freshmen arriving to Angelo State University were wearing masks and practicing social distancing as they began moving into the dorms Wednesday, August 12th. Alicia Flores, Orientation Programs Coordinator for the Center for Students' Involvement at ASU, said with all of the attention being paid to concerns about students and the coronavirus, it was important to try and make the orientation process as normal as possible. "We are really excited to have students back on campus," Flores said. "The move-in was pretty successful. We don't have all of our campus community moved in. They will be moving in progressively over the next few days. We have a lot of good programming coming up, and we will have a lot of opportunities for students to get involved. We wanted to make sure we were still able to put this event on to give our students something to look forward to. So much was taken from them when all of this started." Flores said she was impressed with the cooperation and understanding from the majority of students regarding guidelines in place to address the coronavirus. "We really wanted to make sure the students and their parents knew we were going to take care of them once they came onto campus," Flores said. "Most students are abiding by all of the guidelines that we have for them to keep them safe, and they understand they are there for a reason." COVID at San Angelo Early Childhood Center forces daycare to temporarily close, by John Tufts. A spokesperson for a San Angelo daycare announced Wednesday that its services will be suspended for about 2 weeks due to a positive case of COVID-19. On Wednesday, August 12th, officials with the San Angelo Early Childhood Center, 619 Julian Street, posted on its Facebook page the daycare was possibly exposed to the coronavirus. "I am sorry to inform you that we have a positive case and two other symptomatic unconfirmed cases. The case has not been in the building since August 7th, the message read. Officials apologized to parents and said the daycare would be closed until August 24th. "We know this is difficult for you as families. It is difficult for us as well. We will get through this together. Please wear your mask, wash your hands, avoid large groups, and maintain social distance," an official stated. It's not the first time the San Angelo Early Childhood Center has been forced to close due to COVID-19. In June, the daycare closed for 2 weeks after an employee's family member tested positive for the virus. During a June interview, Executive Director Cynthia Lackey said that tuition would be waived for children enrolled at the daycare for the 2 weeks it remained closed, and staff would be paid their regular hours. Lackey said then that the daycare has asked families to continue to social distance, wear a mask, and avoid large gatherings, while the center has contracted with a professional cleaning service to disinfect the building. Affidavit states, "Armed man threatened to kill San Angelo couple during robbery," by Elena Edgen. Three men have been arrested after a San Angelo couple was threatened with a gun, screwdriver, and a knife, according to a police news release. On Tuesday, August 4th, police responded to the 400 block of East 19th Street for a robbery. Three armed men robbed a 59-year-old man and a 35-year-old woman in a residence, according to a prior news release. The man told officers three men, one he knew as Johnny, broke through the back door of the residence and entered the bedroom. The men were armed with a black revolver, a screwdriver, and a knife, according to the affidavits. Johnny hit the man's face with the pistol and cut his lower abdomen with the knife before taking two cell phones and a television. Johnny also told the man if he called police, they would all come back and kill the couple, according to the affidavits. Police obtained arrest warrants for John De La Rosa, 59, Seth Sterling Albright, 32, and Matthew Whitfield Clark, 45, on suspicion of aggravated robbery. De La Rosa was found and arrested Thursday. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $150,000 bond as of 11:30 a.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. Albright was arrested Sunday on suspicion of aggravated robbery and evading arrest with a prior conviction. He remained in jail in lieu of a $207,500 bond as of 11:30 a.m. Wednesday. Officials found Clark, who had barricaded himself in a locked structure behind a residence in the 600 block of North Archer. He remained in jail in lieu of a $150,000 bond as of 11:30 a.m. Wednesday. Animal cruelty investigation begins after dog poisoned in San Angelo. Police ask for help, by Elena Edgen. The San Angelo police are investigating after a dog was poisoned in the College Hills neighborhood early Monday morning, according to a police news release. Just before 1 a.m. Monday, August 10th, police responded to a report of animal cruelty in the 2200 block of Dartmouth Street. Police learned a dog had been poisoned at a nearby residence. Officers were unable to make contact with the resident where the poisoning occurred, according to the release. A detective has been assigned to the case. The San Angelo Police Department takes allegations of this type very seriously, the release stated. We ask for your patience as we properly investigate this incident. Anyone with information about this case can reach the detective at 325-481-2789. Police are also urging the public not to contact any of the involved parties. Any threats made to the involved parties could result in an investigation and criminal charges may be pursued, the release stated. Here's an accompanying article. Here's what you should do if you witness animal abuse or neglect, by Elena Edgen. Have you seen someone abusing or neglecting an animal and wanted to report it, but didn't know where to go or if it would even make a difference? In Texas, animal cruelty is a felony and neglect is a misdemeanor and should be reported. Here's how people can help animals in a bad situation. Call local law enforcement. Take video or photo evidence if you can, safely and without trespassing. Confronting a person behaving violently, such as hitting an animal, should be left to law enforcement, said West Texas animal advocacy group Concho Valley Paws, which encountered a case July 3, 2019, involving a man beating a German Shepherd that was captured on video. That video said more than words ever could. It has created an environment where people are coming forward and speaking out against this behavior, said Paws director Jeannie Wilson. What is animal abuse and the laws against it? Animal cruelty is a felony in Texas, punishable by up to 10 years in prison and a fine up to $10,000. Children who have committed animal cruelty are required to go to counseling. Neglect is a misdemeanor until the third offense, when it becomes a felony. This is punishable by reimbursement, according to the HumaneSociety.org. The criminal law only applies to domestic animals, such as house pets, livestock, and wild animals subject to a person's care and control, according to the Society for the Prevention and Cruelty to Animals. Animals in the circus, in labs for testing, and wild animals are excluded. Cruelty includes torturing an animal, failing to provide food, care, or shelter, abandoning an animal, transporting or confining an animal in a cruel manner, killing, seriously injuring, or poisoning an animal, causing an animal to fight with another, using a live animal as a lure in a dog race, tripping a horse, injuring an animal belonging to another person, seriously overworking an animal. San Angelo residents can safely dispose of household hazardous waste during free event, by John Tufts. San Angelo residents wondering what to do with old paint cans, spent alkaline batteries, or containers of antifreeze will have an opportunity to safely dispose of them in September. City of San Angelo environmental group Keep San Angelo Beautiful, KSAB, will host a free event allowing residents to dispose of hazardous household waste on Saturday, September 19th. To dispose of their hazardous materials, residents must have a current San Angelo water or electricity bill. Items can be dropped off at Foster Communications Coliseum from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. or until organizers reach capacity. KSAB Executive Director Charlotte Anderson said it's the first such event San Angelo has had in a long time, but going forward will offer more opportunities for residents to recycle. "This is a great opportunity for people to get rid of hazardous material," Anderson said. "The last recycling event we had was about 3 years ago. Our goal is to have an annual event every year." When you think about what goes into the ground from just our yard, items like pesticides, oils and paints, antifreeze that may get poured down the driveway, all those impact our lakes, rivers, and streams, she said. "This event is important to the community and can help make San Angelo a better place to live." Anderson said KSAB is committed to improving San Angelo's environment while maintaining social distancing to limit the spread of COVID-19. She encouraged people to drive their hazardous materials to the Coliseum and remain in their vehicle while organizers handle the rest. "It's a no-contact event. You don't have to get out of your vehicle. The professionals will remove the debris," Anderson said. Materials residents can drop off include flammable liquids and solids, aerosols, pesticides and herbicides, liquids and solids, fluorescent bulbs, tubes and CFLs, propane cylinders, camp size and barbecue, oil-based and latex paints, poisons, corrosive liquids and solids, oxidizers such as pool chemicals, isocyanates, hydrogen peroxide, antifreeze, used oil and used oil filters, mercury items, Freon cylinders, lecture small, not from businesses, fire extinguishers, rechargeable batteries, NiCad, nickel metal hydride, alkaline, lithium, and lithium ion batteries. Material that will not be accepted includes tires, medication, medical or agricultural waste, large appliances or electronics. For a complete list, visit Keep San Angelo Beautiful on Facebook or online at COSATX.US under the Neighborhood and Family Services Department. For more information, contact KSAB by calling 325-486-3771 or email charlotte.anderson@cosatx.us. Affidavit states San Angelo mother stabbed during burglary with daughter found in nearby house by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo mother and daughter have been arrested after police found blood-soaked clothes in a residence near a place where a woman stabbed a burglar during a break-in, according to court documents. On Wednesday, August 5th, San Angelo police responded to the 500 block of East Harris Street to report of a prowler gaining entry, according to arrest affidavits. A woman told officers she was attacked when a woman, a teen female, and a man broke into her home and started punching her. The woman told officers she protected herself with a knife and stabbed the woman. She identified the woman as Lisa and the teen as Lisa's daughter, Cecilia, both of whom lived nearby and drove a red Ford Mustang, records state. Officers showed the woman a photo of Lisa, to which she replied, "Oh yeah, that's her," according to the affidavits. Police went to the nearby residence and found the Ford with what appeared to be blood on the driver's seat. A search of the home in the 400 block of East Harris Street revealed numerous articles of blood-soaked clothing and bandages, according to the affidavits. The 38-year-old woman had lacerations, and the woman's 17-year-old daughter appeared to have blood on herself, records state. The teen was heard by police stating she owned the Mustang and was with her mother during the burglary. The teen also saw her mother get stabbed, according to the affidavits. The teen had marijuana and psilocybin, a psychedelic drug, records state. Elizabeth Guerrero, 38, was arrested on suspicion of burglary of a habitation, failure to stop at a red light, and three warrants. She remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $40,520 bond as of 3 p.m. Monday, according to online jail records. Cecilia R. Guerrero, 17, was arrested on suspicion of burglary of a habitation, possession of marijuana, and manufacture delivery of a controlled substance. She remained in jail in lieu of a $100,000 bond as of 3 p.m. Monday, according to online jail records. Tracy Piet Fox, public information officer with San Angelo Police, said the investigation is active and there was no additional information regarding the man as of 3 p.m. Monday. Shannon Medical Center receives 4 awards from American Heart Association, by Rosanna Aguilera. Shannon Medical Center received 4 awards from the American Heart Association for its heart and stroke care, according to a news release. These awards recognize Shannon's continued dedication to improving the quality of care for our heart attack, heart failure, and stroke patients, said Rudy Haddad, MD, Shannon Clinic Interventional Cardiologist. These recognitions are made possible by a team of experts across our organization that is focused on the best care for our patients. We are happy to be recognized for our dedication and achievements in cardiac care, and I am very proud of our team. This is the 4th consecutive year Shannon has received the Heart Attack and Heart Failure Awards, and the 6th consecutive year receiving the Stroke Award. These recognitions include Lifeline Gold Receiving Achievement Award and Lifeline NSTEMI Gold Achievement Award. Shannon received these awards for implementing specific quality improvement measures outlined by the American Heart Association for the treatment of patients who suffer severe heart attacks, according to the release. Shannon met specific criteria and standards of performance for quick and appropriate treatment through emergency procedures to reestablish blood flow to blocked arteries in heart attack patients coming into the hospital. Heart Failure Gold Plus Quality Achievement Award. This award recognizes the hospital's commitment of ensuring heart failure patients receive the most appropriate treatment. The goal is speeding recovery and reducing hospital readmissions for heart failure patients. Shannon earned the award by meeting specific quality achievement measures for the diagnosis and treatment of heart failure patients at a set level for a designated period, the release stated. These measures include evaluation of the proper use of medications and aggressive risk reduction therapies. Stroke Gold Plus Quality Achievement Award. The award recognizes the hospital's commitment to ensuring stroke patients receive the most appropriate treatment. Shannon earned the award by meeting specific quality achievement measures for the diagnosis and treatment of stroke patients at a set level for a designated period, according to the release. Tom Green County Library to receive $50,000 grant to create Wi-Fi hotspots, from staff reports. Tom Green County Library will receive a $50,000 federal grant to respond to the coronavirus pandemic, U.S. Senator John Cornyn announced Monday, August 10. The grant is part of the $2.6 million Texas received from the Institute for Museum and Library Services as part of the CARES Act, which Cornyn supported in March. These funds will help allow Texans to safely utilize local library services and resources, Cornyn said. I applaud area leaders in San Angelo for their work to obtain these grants and for putting the safety of Texans first as we continue to persevere through the COVID-19 pandemic. The Tom Green County Library will use funds to install permanent hotspots throughout the community, with a particular emphasis on rural, outlying communities. The library will work with San Angelo ISD and the county's rural school districts to identify areas where students who receive free and reduced school lunch services reside, targeting those areas for public communal hotspots. Placing hotspot stations throughout the community will get internet services closer to where people live and work, allowing them to complete online tasks without the need to come into or in the library's four walls. Grant funds will also support expansion of the library's popular hotspot lending program, the purchase of PPE, and 3D supplies to develop protective gear in-house. Volunteers clean up Twin Buttes area Saturday by Colin Murphy. Dozens of people volunteered their time on Saturday to clean up trash around the Twin Buttes Reservoir. Two groups of volunteers gathered on opposite side of the reservoir to pick up rubbish left behind by past visitors. The group spent hours collecting everything from cans and bottles to construction debris and concrete. As the volunteers trekked through the park filling trash cans, one organizer said there was a bright spot in Saturday's efforts. "We've been coming up here to clean periodically for a while now, and it's not as bad as it has been in the past," said volunteer Justin Gocher. "We used to find needles and baggies and containers and other drug paraphernalia, but not this time." Affidavit states San Angelo man attempted to choke officer during traffic stop by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been arrested after police body camera footage showed an officer being assaulted, according to an arrest affidavit. On Thursday, August 6th, a San Angelo police officer attempted a traffic stop in the 2200 block of North Street. The driver instantly became agitated and ignoring commands, according to the affidavit. The officer attempted to arrest the driver, who punched the officer's head and grabbed the officer's throat, records state. The officers had injuries on his arm and face. Rudy Dominguez Jr., 29, was arrested Thursday on suspicion of assaulting a police officer, assault by contact family violence, resisting arrest, search, or transport, walking with flow of traffic, and two warrants. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $77,380 bond as of noon Monday, according to online jail records. Demonstrators protest to keep Lee Middle School name in San Angelo, by Colin Murphy. Dozens of demonstrators gathered in front of Robert E. Lee Middle School to encourage San Angelo ISD leaders to keep the school's name. Debbie Cross, one of the organizers of the event, said the demonstration was about sending a message. "We're just letting our voices be heard," Cross said. "We are against the name change of Robert E. Lee Jr. High School. This school has been here for 71 years, and there's never been a problem. We need to keep the name. We have to stand up for what we believe in. We need to let the community know that we stand behind Lee Jr. High School. This is a proud school. We have to stand up for America and stand up for our rights." Cross also addressed the financial consequences she said could be incurred by changing the name of the school. "The costs of changing the name would be astronomical," Cross said. "You'd have to change the websites, the identity with UIL, football uniforms, band uniforms. You'd have to change all of that, and that's not cheap. That kind of money could be used to buy books and computers and doing other things for our students." District leaders did not publicly address the cost of changing the name during the first virtual meeting with the community on the issue Thursday. The district is hosting virtual sessions to get input from the community about the school's name, which honors the Confederate States Army General. Calls to change the school's name began in June when a petition appeared on change.org requesting the school district to consider a new name for the campus at 2500 Sherwood Way. A second petition appeared later advocating the name be left alone. On Thursday, August 6th, district officials hosted a digital engaging equity summit using the video conferencing app Zoom. About 45 people participated, and opinions were shared from both sides of the discussion. The district will host a second virtual summit open to members of the public beginning at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. September 5th. Those interested in participating must email San Angelo ISD at communications@saisd.org. Here's how San Angelo area schools and universities plan to prevent spread of COVID-19, by Alana Edgen. Schools and universities around San Angelo are preparing to reopen, with some precautions, as the COVID-19 pandemic continues through the country. Here are the highlights of local plans that were publicly available as of Friday, August 7th. San Angelo ISD. Masks or face shields will be required for all students in fourth grade or higher, students 10 years and older, and while riding the bus at San Angelo Independent School District. Staff and faculty, including bus drivers, must wear masks or shields. Staff, students, and faculty will take their own daily health screenings and temperatures. Visitors must be screened before entering school buildings. Outside food will not be allowed to be delivered to students, and parents cannot visit students during lunch or breakfast. Students enrolled in virtual classes can sign up for extracurricular activities, but will need to attend classes and practices in person. These students will need to provide their own transportation. On August 4th, the district announced it would not allow visitors on campus or facilities until further notice. This includes practice fields and playgrounds during the day. For the district's complete plan, go to saisd.org/5107. Angelo State University. Measures to limit COVID at Angelo State University include: masks will be required for everyone on campus. Events will be limited to 10 people and will not have food or drinks. Daily wellness screenings for people on campus. The spring 2021 semester will not include a spring break. Students can order cafeteria meals to go ahead of time by downloading the Get app. This will also allow for contactless payment in the CAF and University Center dining areas. For more information, visit angelo.edu/COVID-19. And this article was published on August the 7th. San Angelo Municipal Pool opens this weekend with some limitations due to COVID, by John Tufts. Officials with the City of San Angelo announced the municipal pool will open to swimmers after being closed for most of the summer due to COVID-19. On Friday, August 7th, officials made a social media post on the city's official Facebook page announcing the municipal pool, 18 East Avenue A, would open from noon to 6 p.m. beginning Saturday, August 8th. There is a 250-person limit due to COVID-19, according to a statement on the city's website. While parks, beaches, rivers, and lakes may be open, outdoor swimming pools may operate up to 50% of the normal operating limits, as determined by the swimming pool owner, according to orders issued by Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Anyone age 10 and older must wear a face covering over the nose and mouth wherever it is not feasible to maintain 6 feet of social distance from another person not in the same household, except face coverings are not required while the person is in a swimming pool, lake, or similar body of water, according to minimum health standards issued by the state. How long will the municipal pool be open? Officials said the pool will remain closed Mondays for maintenance and will be open through August 16th, and then only open on weekends, with the last day to swim on Monday, September 7th. Due to COVID-19, the city will not offer swim lessons this year. What about private parties at San Angelo Municipal Pool? Information to have private and semi-private parties was listed on the city's website as of Friday, August 7th. The city's website stated private parties could be reserved any day of the week with time slots at 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. and 8:45 p.m. to 10:45 p.m. Pool party reservations must be made in the recreation offices in Santa Fe Crossing at 702 South Chadburn Street from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Private parties cost 1 to 100 people, $250. 101 to 200 people, $300. 201 to 300 people, $400. 301 to 400 people, $500. A $100 deposit is required, plus the initial fee stated above. All fees are due when the reservation is made. Cancellation fees may apply. Semi-private parties, during which the pool remains open to the public, cost $20 per hour with a two-hour minimum, plus $3 per person, according to the city's website. This article was published on Tuesday, August 11th. Concho Valley Landscape Series starts Tuesday. Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service announced the Beautiful Edible Earth Kind Landscapes Garden Series will start August 11th and run for 9 consecutive Tuesdays. Plants with the AgriLife Earth Kind designation are ideal for Texas landscapes. The cost is $30 for the series and is limited to 10 participants per session. Classes will be from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the People Plant Connection Studio at 416 South Oaks in San Angelo. Allison Watkins, AgriLife Extension Horticulture Agent for Tom Green County, will be the instructor for the series. Participants may attend as many classes in the series as they like, but registration is required. Register online or call 325-659-6522. Selecting Earthkind plants helps ensure growing success, since that designation takes into account the conditions present in Texas, said Watkins. This series will focus on what does best in the Concho Valley and will teach participants how they can have a functional, attractive landscape that can also provide food to eat. Dates and topics from this point forward are August 18th, Growing Herbs, August 25th, Fruit for West Texas, September 1st, Landscape Design, September 8th, Soil and Compost, September 15th, West Texas Lawn Care, September 22nd, Tree Planting and Care, September 29th, Best Plants for the Concho Valley, and October 6th, Irrigation and Water Conservation. Earthkind plants limit the amount of fertilizers, pesticides, and water needed to succeed. All plants with the AgriLife Extension Earthkind designation are designed to help preserve and protect natural resources and the environment. Now here's a column by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County, Allison Watkins. How to take care of a late summer pecan tree. Problematic pests. Last year was a frustrating pecan year for many. The early first freeze in October caused a lot of shucks to not open up, reducing yields. Pecans are a beautiful tree and a delicious crop, but are a challenge to keep healthy and productive. The rainy spring weather this year was good for nut production, but it quickly turned hot and dry. Pecans need steady, even irrigation all the way from bud break to shuck split for good quality nuts. They also require fertilization and pest management. Watering is key. If you would like to grow a good crop of pecans to pick up this fall, be sure to soak the drip line of pecan trees with 2 inches of water every 2 weeks. Keep an eye out for nut-damaging pests like the pecan weevil, and apply 10 to 20 pounds of ammonium sulfate fertilizer in August and September for heavily loaded trees. For homeowners who just want to enjoy the tree as a landscape feature and don't harvest the nuts, irrigation is still important. Pecans are prone to branch dieback if they are not irrigated regularly. No pecans? Here's what could be the issue. Many homeowners have questions about why they didn't get any good pecans from their trees in a given year. 3 major pecan nut pests that can reduce the crop are the pecan nut case bearer, active in the spring, the hickory shuck worm, active in summer and fall, and pecan weevil, active in late summer and fall. Now is the time to start watching out for the pecan weevil. In August, adult weevils start to emerge from the soil where they overwintered. They crawl up the tree and feed on the nuts. Nuts in the gel stage will drop off the tree. Nuts that are past the gel stage are susceptible to egg laying. The infested nuts will stay on the tree while the developing larva eats the pecan kernel. The larva then emerge from the nuts in late fall through a hole they chew through the shell. This results in pecans that look full-sized but have no kernel inside to enjoy. Monitoring is important to catch this pest and know when to treat. Their emergence depends on environmental conditions and can be different each year. They usually emerge in August, but can be delayed by drought-hardened soils. Homeowners can consider applying an insecticide such as Carbaryl or bifenthrin to the trunk every 10 days in the latter half of August to prevent the kernel damage this year if weevils have been a problem in the past. Visit tomgreen.agrilife.org/horticulture for more information on the pecan weevil and to learn about monitoring and control measures. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu. San Angelo ISD welcomes new teachers during outdoor event by Colin Murphy. The San Angelo Independent School District hosted roughly 130 educators new to the district on Thursday, August 6th, with a welcome event at a San Angelo Stadium parking lot. The event was outside with additional precautions observed, such as social distancing and masks to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Farah Gomez, San Angelo ISD Assistant Superintendent of Human Resources and Professional Learning, said the event was a way to welcome educators to the district in a safe manner before they start their new jobs in just under 2 weeks. The San Angelo ISD 2020 school year starts August 19th. "We're welcoming them to our district and the community of San Angelo with our community partners," Gomez said. "They are not necessarily brand new teachers, but they are new to San Angelo ISD. We are doing this with safe social distancing and just welcoming them officially as part of our team. Instead of being indoors, we are outdoors to keep everybody safe. We want to thank the community of San Angelo and our business partners for their great support and for being out here to not only support our school district, but to also support our teachers, our students, and our families." And here is an article that was published on the front page of the Standard Times, Friday, August 7th. COVID-19, Here's How Survivors Can Help Others, by Elena Edgen. As the pandemic continues through San Angelo and the area, blood centers are asking for COVID-19 survivors to help others fight the virus by donating plasma. People who have recuperated from the virus could help current patients by donating their plasma, which has the antibodies to fight the virus, according to Vitalant. "There is a great need, especially locally, for the COVID convalescent plasma," said Linda Grace, donor recruitment supervisor for Vitalant. "The patients desperately need the help. People who have recovered from the virus have antibodies, which can fight the virus. Those antibodies in the plasma can be transfused into a patient, which will help them fight COVID-19. The amazing thing about this plasma, when a person with COVID-19 is transfused with it, it immediately helps them start fighting," Grace said. "I think it's one of the most promising and one of the most effective treatments at this time." Vitalant started accepting these donations in April, and the San Angelo branch had its first convalescent plasma donation in June. They have also been testing successful blood donations for antibodies, which helps their research into treatments. "We've had a few people, but I think a lot of people don't know if they can help or how," Grace said. "Those folks who have recovered and had symptoms are prime candidates to save other lives." How to donate. To qualify for donating, people need to have tested positive for COVID-19, have had symptoms, and have been symptom-free for 28 days. The process starts by filling out information on Vitalant.org/COVID-free. People who have questions about donating convalescent plasma can call 866-287-5762. Once the forms are accepted, Vitalant will contact potential donors to set up an appointment. During the appointment, people will complete some questions and a mini physical before donating. The donation could take around 45 minutes. After, donors should wait 15 minutes to make sure they have recovered. Vitalant will also offer to schedule another appointment with plasma donors who can donate every 7 days, according to Grace. Shannon Medical Center blood drive planned. The blood supply in the Concho Valley remains critically low, Vitalant said in a news release announcing several upcoming blood drives. Here's how you can donate blood in the coming days. And the only date, which is the last date that would still be applicable during this broadcast, would be the Friday, August 14th date, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. During those dates and times, blood mobiles will be in the Shannon Medical Center downtown parking lot accepting donations. Appointments are mandatory to ensure social distancing guidelines are met. Call 877-258-4825 and input the code SHANNON. Visit bloodhero.com or download the Vitalant app for more information. Donors will receive COVID-19 antibody testing and other perks, Vitalant said in the release. Corn Maze and Wall honors first responders and medical staff with 2020 design, by Rosanna Aguilera. The Circle S Corn Maze and Pumpkin Patch revealed its design for the 2020 season, honoring first responders and medical staff. This is the fifth year the festive destination has been in operation at 7305 Bean Road in Wall, Texas. There is no better way to celebrate our fifth year than to honor our first responders and everyone in the medical profession, according to a Facebook post. These people risk their lives on a daily basis to make sure we are safe. The Facebook post stated they are honoring firefighter, police officers, EMTs, doctors, and nurses. For Circle S, the fall season will start on September 30th and last through November 1st. They will be closed Monday and Tuesday and open from 5 to 8 p.m. Wednesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, and 1 to 6 on Sunday. Costs for entry are $8 for adults, $5 for children, and children 2 and younger are free.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.